Picture a winter morning in 2021. Intelligence analysts slide a folder across the desk to President Biden. Inside lies irrefutable proof that Russian tanks will soon roll into Ukraine. Halfway around the globe, Xi Jinping oversees China's most aggressive military expansion in generations, while semiconductor factories in Taiwan hum with production of the chips that power everything from your iPhone to America's most advanced fighter jets. The post-Cold War dream that democracy and free markets would inevitably triumph has collided with a harsh reality. Authoritarian powers are back, and they're playing for keeps. We're no longer living in the stable, predictable world we thought we'd built after the Berlin Wall fell. Instead, we've stumbled into something far more dangerous, a world where America faces not one, but multiple adversaries simultaneously, each armed with nuclear weapons and 21st century technology. For 30 years, Western leaders clung to a comforting narrative. The Cold War's end meant permanent peace among nuclear powers. Clinton believed the internet would democratize China. Bush thought he could partner with Putin against terrorism. Obama distrusted Putin but hesitated to confront Russian cyberattacks. Each administration operated on variations of the same hopeful assumption, even as evidence mounted that something fundamental had shifted. The warning signs flashed bright and early. In 1999, NATO expanded eastward despite George Kennan's prescient warning that it would inflame nationalistic, anti-Western, and militaristic tendencies in Russian opinion. When NATO bombed Kosovo that same spring without UN authorization, Russians saw American arrogance at its peak, destroying an ally during what Putin would later call the unipolar moment. By 2007, Putin stood before Western leaders at the Munich Security Conference, dressed in black, and delivered a blistering condemnation of American hegemony. Most dismissed his concerns. Russia seemed too weak to matter. Looking back, that dismissal was catastrophically naive. When Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin visited China in 1997, it was still just an emerging market, with a GDP barely exceeding $900 billion. Yet, it was growing at 8 to 11% annually, and Western leaders had a plan. Economic engagement would transform China from within. Newly wealthy Chinese citizens would demand political reforms. The internet would foster free expression. As Clinton quipped, controlling the internet would be like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. This theory fit America's agenda so perfectly that few questioned it, even as China's territorial ambitions grew, cyber theft of industrial secrets reached hundreds of billions annually, and economic power fostered political ambition. China had been following Deng Xiaoping's doctrine to hide one's strength and bide one's time, and it worked brilliantly. By 2015, American steelworkers in Pennsylvania faced devastation from subsidized Chinese steel flooding markets, while semiconductor executives feared China's $150 billion plan to dominate chip manufacturing. The security implications were stark. Chinese control of semiconductors, the foundation of all modern technology, would give Beijing dangerous leverage over everything from smartphones to missile systems. Southwest of Taipei sits Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, producing nearly 90% of the world's most advanced computer chips. These aren't just components. They're the technological backbone of modern civilization, powering F-35s, medical devices, and the phone in your pocket. This dominance represents a technology America surrendered through profit-driven decisions to move production overseas without considering national security. The COVID pandemic shattered the myth that globalized supply chains eliminated concerns about production location. New vehicles sat in factory lots awaiting chips worth just a few dollars, costing the automotive industry $210 billion in 2021 alone. By October 2022, Biden's Commerce Department fundamentally disrupted the global chip supply chain, blocking sales to China of advanced chips and chip-making equipment. Intelligence revealed China was using Western chips to build surveillance satellites, hypersonic missiles, and AI-powered military systems. Sullivan described the approach as building a high fence around a small yard of critical technologies, focusing restrictions on specific advanced capabilities while maintaining broader trade relationships. In a converted Kiev factory, Ukrainian high school students spent summer 2023 assembling kamikaze drones, a scene that would have seemed absurd before 2022. Selected for their steady hands for soldering, these teenagers mounted sophisticated electronics on carbon fiber airframes, creating $350 drones capable of disabling Russian vehicles. The factory produced 20 drones daily, with pilots typically needing 4 to 10 attempts to destroy a target, still maintaining massive economic advantage over traditional military hardware. Meanwhile, at a secretive American base in Europe, the PIT brought together U.S. and British officers, Ukrainian personnel, and Silicon Valley contractors around a revolutionary single pane of glass display integrating commercial satellite imagery, social media data, intercepted radio transmissions, and facial recognition technology. Remarkably, 80% was built on unclassified commercial sources, challenging traditional military reliance on classified systems. Ukrainian soldiers deployed mobile 3D printing units directly to battlefields, enabling artillery part repairs within hours rather than weeks. They designed tank-killing drones from commercially available components and developed AI-enabled swarm tactics. One Silicon Valley executive noted, "Ukraine is inventing stuff in 2 to 3 years that will take 30 years to be worked out by everybody else." Secretary of State Antony Blinken's admission captures our moment perfectly. This is not the world we wanted, or were trying to shape, after the Cold War. For 15 years, leaders warned against slipping back into Cold War habits. Instead, we've entered something more complex and combustible, simultaneous high-stakes conflicts that will outlive current leaders and persist for decades. This isn't a replay of the 20th century. China shows no signs of Soviet-style collapse. Putin's alignment with China and Iran has given Russia staying power despite sanctions. Technology has accelerated these struggles, with AI integration potentially escalating minor conflicts before humans can reconsider. As Robert Gates warned, America now faces 4 allied antagonists: Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran, whose collective nuclear arsenal could soon nearly double America's own. Henry Kissinger, in his final years, compared U.S.-China relations to an alpine military campaign, claiming we'd moved from the foothills to the mountain passes to on a precipice. We're living through a fundamental transformation, from the stable post-Cold War order to something far more dangerous and unpredictable. The comfortable assumptions that guided 3 decades of American foreign policy have shattered against the reality of resurgent authoritarian powers armed with both nuclear weapons and cutting-edge technology. Yet amid this sobering assessment, one fact offers hope. During the original Cold War, great powers maintained an 8-decade streak of never escalating differences into direct conflict. That achievement, born of restraint, clear communication, and mutual understanding of catastrophic stakes, remains humanity's most important diplomatic accomplishment. Today, with multiple flashpoints from Ukraine to Taiwan to the Middle East, that streak has never been more fragile or more essential. The question isn't whether we wanted this world, we didn't. The question is whether we possess the wisdom, patience, and strategic discipline to navigate it without stumbling into the catastrophe that cooler heads prevented for 8 decades. Our future depends on that answer.